affordable solutions for your ministry technologies is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother Anthony King. Brother King serves as the technology director for Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Well, let me start by saying to everybody, glad you're here. Really, thanks for coming. This conference has never been designed to tell you what you're doing wrong or tell you how to fix it or anything like that. Basically, the whole idea behind our portion of the conference especially is just kind of give you some ideas of what's working for us, things we've tried, things that worked, things that didn't work, and things like that. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list of how you should do things or anything along those lines, just what we've done and what worked for us, and hopefully it'll spur some ideas and get your wheels turning upstairs and give you some tools that you can take with you and implement into your ministry or whatever area aspect that you serve in. Some of the things towards the end of the session that we're going to talk about deals with network administration. That's kind of my bread and butter. I serve as the Director of Technology Services for Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Oversee all of our computers from the computer labs to the computers in the office administration building to our mobile devices, laptops, things like that. So I'm kind of in charge of that. I also work hand in hand with Brother Larry Chappell in our media ministry on the downstairs side with the video and web and things like that. Brother Jeremy Lofkin actually oversees our sound ministry. Some of you have probably been in some of Brother Lofkin's sessions. He's incredibly knowledgeable in that area as well. Also, as a reminder, following the 2:30 session today at 3:30, there will be a media ministry tour in the main auditorium. If you're interested in taking a look at our new control room that we have, totally awesome. We've got it all redone. It just went live in April. If you haven't seen it yet, you should stop by for that. They're going to take you on a tour of that. Also, take you on a tour of the sound booth. Brother Lofkin will tell you everything you ever wanted to know, from what kind of mics we use to what kind of batteries we use in our mics to what kind of soundboard we have and things like that. They'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions, so keep that in mind. That's at 3:30 today in the main auditorium. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into this session. Lord, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on our behalf. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you with our lives and make an impact in the areas in which you've called us to, Lord. And I pray that this session would be a help to the folks that are here and that they would be able to take away some ideas and some thoughts that would help them as we serve you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody wants to do things, especially Baptists. I think Baptists love to try to cut corners wherever we can and try to get as much free stuff as we can. And is there some school around us that's giving away a boatload of desktops that were made in 1980 that we could possibly implement somewhere? Does any of this sound remotely familiar to anybody? Hello? We get calls probably a couple times a month now of people asking, hey, are you guys getting rid of any computers? And I always tell them the exact same thing. If we're getting rid of it, that means that nobody on planet Earth could ever want it. I promise you that, because we have people that are still using computers that were brand new in 1995. Okay, right, 15-year-old computers that people are still using on a regular basis. From time to time, we'll say, we'll hire somebody or we'll get somebody in as a volunteer position. They'll say, hey, do we have a computer for them? And it's like, yes, we do, but they're not going to like it. And we'll pull out whatever we have. I'll call my guys and say, whatever we have in the closet, take it, put as much RAM as you can in it, and we're going to just let it ride and see how it works. Again, we repurpose everything that we have. We recycle, we reuse, and the only time we ever get rid of something is when it is completely, totally dead and no longer works, and you can't buy parts for it anymore. So if any of this sounds vaguely familiar, you're on the right track as far as we're concerned is what we do. This is not going to be a session on how to clip coupons and save more on your groceries and stuff like that. We're going to try to tell you how to do things the best way that we found for us and to do things the most affordable way as well. First thing you need to do is to make sure that you thoroughly research all of your solutions. Stop and think about what we really need and what we need to accomplish this. Many times I see people fall into the trap of they say, hey, you know what, our fifth anniversary for our church is coming up next year and we want to buy a computer to edit our fifth anniversary video on. And we went down to the Apple store, and the guy there told us about this $5,000 rig that we need to put together a really stellar video. And I always tell them, stop and do your research, okay? If you're editing video or editing photos and things like that, you don't have to buy a high-end Mac computer to do things like that on. It's a little-known fact among Apple enthusiasts that Photoshop runs on PCs, too. It's okay? you can get a PC that runs Photoshop. You can edit your videos on a PC and things like that. For those of you that don't know, I am a PC guy. If I were a Mac guy, I'd be wearing the Birkenstock slippers and the jeans and an untucked t-shirt and unkempt hair and things like that. And I would have like a Mexican blanket that I throw over my shoulder and stuff like that. I'm just kidding. But seriously, we don't have to buy high-end Mac products to do what needs to be done. For me, all of the video editing I have ever done has been on a PC. I tried to use iMovie one time and it just didn't make sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm not that smart. But for me personally, I use Sony Vegas to edit videos on the PC. It works incredibly, incredibly well. It's incredibly inexpensive, in my opinion, as far as what you get out of that. And it works really well. But here's the bottom line. Do your research on what you need. Don't try to cut corners with things like mission critical systems, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But really, do a lot of research. I like to read a lot of reviews online. That's one of the things I love about Amazon.com. Anything you're thinking about buying, go there, see what other people have to say about it. And you can get a lot of information by reading reviews online and just really do your research. If we are spending God's money, we need to make sure that we get the best that we can for the best dollar amount that we can that is going to last us as long as possible. Secondly, buy only what you need. For us, we're getting ready to this summer outfit all of our teachers in our Christian school with new laptops again. We got laptops for them 4 years ago, and I tell you what, they have almost ran them into the ground. I'm talking about LCDs going out, keys off the keyboard popping off and stuff like that. And right now we're just kind of band-aiding it all together until we can get a solution in place. But here's the thing we need to figure out. What do we need to buy for these teachers? Now, I need to keep in mind that the last time we bought computers for them, they lasted for 4 years. So I can't go with a low-end netbook that's going to cost me $200. I just can't do that. I have to really plan out what something's going to last these folks for 4 years. And the same thing's going to be true in your ministry. You're going to have to take a look at how long am I going to use this for? What do I really need to buy? I'm not going to buy my teachers laptops that have Blu-ray disc burning. I'm not going to buy them laptops with 1 terabyte internal drives. I'm not going to buy high-end Core i5 16-core processor type systems here. I'm going to buy them exactly what they need, something that's going to last them for the four-year period that they need, and just be smart about it. That's kind of what it comes down to again. And again, here's a lot of times folks on our staff will put in a purchase order for a new MacBook, you know, that costs them $1,500 or something like that. We always go back and say, why do you need this as opposed to a Dell laptop that might only cost $800 or $900. What's the reasoning behind this? If you got a good reason, by all means, let's give you the tools that you need. But let's make sure that we get exactly what we need. And sometimes when you ask, you say, so what's the reason for this Mac as opposed to a Dell? And they say, you know what, I just really like them. I think they're really neat. And it's like, okay, that's not really a compelling reason there, okay? So again, it comes back to buying only what we need. Another thing you need to do is take a look at for ways that we can consolidate. For example, I'm an IT director and I manage all of our network servers. If we, probably about 2 years ago, we began consolidating a lot of our servers down to virtual servers. We used to use Microsoft VMware, now we use Microsoft Hyper-V. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, it basically allows you to take one physical computer. I could take the computer that's down here in this room here and load multiple operating systems on it, multiple machines, and make it function as multiple servers on our network. And that for us has been a really good tool to consolidate things. We buy one computer, we load multiple servers on it. We have three virtual servers right now, so three physical boxes themselves, and between those three servers we're running about 15 different servers on there, and it's one of those things that somebody says, hey, we need a web server to do this, bam, I can do that, load it on here, no extra added expense there at all. Really good ways to do things. But again, look for ways that we can consolidate this. This goes into the media ministry as well. When we're looking at buying a camera, we want to look at a camera that's going to work for us in multiple scenarios, something we can take to Men and Boys Camp out, something that our volleyball girls can take with them when they go on the road, something that we could also use to shoot interviews in the offices and things like that. Look for ways to consolidate, because if you don't, you're going to end up spending $200 here, $300 there, $500 there, and you could have spent $1,000 to get a really nice camera to begin with. So always look for ways to consolidate and just be smart about it. Look for multiple uses for it. One of the things that we try to do here, we have multiple ministries. First of all, we have our church, then we have our college, then we have our Christian school, then we have Striving Together Publications, four different ministries. Anytime we look at buying a new piece of equipment or a new piece of hardware, we always look and say, where can this be benefited by all four aspects of the ministry here? And we can share the cost of it and really look at better ways to utilize the things that we're looking to use. Also, we should look for freeware alternatives. And free is the favorite Baptist word, I think, that there is. But there are some freeware alternatives out there for folks that are running their own web mail servers and things like that. I highly recommend Google Apps for Domains. If you're not familiar with that, basically it allows you your own email address at your domain. It allows you to create multiple mailboxes. It's free for nonprofits. It allows you to do calendar sharing and a lot of things like that. If you're not familiar with that, you should get familiar with it. If you're in a larger size network, I would recommend sticking with something like Microsoft Exchange or something along those lines. But Google Apps for Domains is incredibly awesome. I highly recommend this to any smaller churches or churches that are just getting started off. Maybe they just created their first website and they want to have their own email domains and things like that. I always recommend Google Apps for Domains for that. Also, small businesses that are just getting started, I usually recommend that they start off with something like that as well. The great part about that is you don't have to manage and maintain a mail server. You don't have to worry about software licensing for spam filtering software, things like that. Really good way to go. Another website here that's one of my favorites is called alternative2.net. And basically what you do is you plug in some type of software, say, for example, like Photoshop, and they will give you freeware alternatives that are available that you could use there as well. Now, in my opinion, there are some pieces of software that are worth purchasing. The Adobe Creative Suite, if you're going to be spending a lot of time in there, definitely worth your money. There's other freeware alternatives. If you just want to mark up some photos or make some adjustments to it and stuff like that, you don't have to go out and buy an expensive software suite to do something like that. And this website here will give you a lot of different freeware utilities that will be a help to you from that aspect. Another thing as well, take a look for bargains that are available to you. And here's a list of some of the places that we look for good pricing on different things. Always, anytime you're buying software and sometimes even hardware, take a look at charity or nonprofit pricing. For us, we get most of our Microsoft software through Dell and through nonprofit charity pricing. For us, a full copy of Microsoft Office Professional, even the new 2010 version that just came out, runs about $70. Now, if you were to buy that off the shelf, it's going to cost you about $600, $700 to do that. We get it for about $70. Microsoft Windows 7 licenses that we purchase, right at about $70 there as well, $60 to $70, I want to say, at the nonprofit pricing. Again, you want to buy that off the shelf, it's going to be anywhere from $200 to $300, depending on the options that you select there. So always check around from your software vendor to see if they provide charity or nonprofit pricing. Also, educational discounts. If you have a K-12 school, you should look into getting educational discounts as well. Some retailers will require that you're accredited. For us, our Christian school is not accredited by the state of California. Some places will require that. Other places, it's just enough to be a nonprofit and also to have a school. So keep that in mind as well. One of my favorite places to shop is the Dell Outlet. The thing I love about the Dell Outlet is they provide Dell equipment at about 70% of the cost of what you would buy it for new. The good part about the Dell Outlet is that the equipment that you'll get from there is going to be refurbished, which basically means someone returned it at some point. Dell went through it with a fine-tooth comb and shipped it back out. And the great part about this is it comes with your standard one-year warranty, on-site warranty if you choose that option and things like that. In my opinion, it's as good as new, and you're going to get it at a fraction of the price. For us, we spec'd out a server we bought, I want to say about 3 months ago, and to spec it out on Dell.com with everything we needed was going to cost us about $6,000. Dell Outlet had the exact same thing for about $2,800, so considerable difference there that we got. We also buy a lot of our laptops and netbooks and things like that there. Some of the netbooks that we have, little bitty guys, the Dell 9 inches we bought a couple years ago for about less than $200 each. We bought about 8 of those to use them for different aspects, so I highly recommend the Dell Outlet for this. This right here is my favorite. If I had to choose one that was my absolute favorite, it's Amazon. You just absolutely cannot beat it. I tell people all the time that Amazon is the Walmart of the internet. If you need something, Amazon has it or can get it for you. I can almost guarantee you that. But there's also a service on Amazon called Amazon Prime. The cost of that is $79 a year. And here's the great part about it. If you have a .edu address, it's actually free for 1 year. They just started that a couple days ago. But here's what Amazon Prime does for you. Anything that you buy in the store on Amazon.com, you can have shipped to you overnight for $3.99 or second day free shipping. You say, well, why is that a big deal? For me, if I buy a battery backup system for our servers, which weighs somewhere about 175 pounds, to have something shipped like that via UPS is going to cost me $200-$300 to do that. But through Amazon, I can have it overnighted for $4. Man, you can't beat that. I almost feel like I'm ripping them off. But it's really, really great. So, the thing I love about Amazon, you go on their website, look at what you're wanting. They'll say right beside it, if you want this tomorrow, order within the next 1 hour and 13 minutes. Man, so I know I can have it first thing tomorrow morning. Somebody calls me up and says, hey, my my keyboard went out here. I need 10 power strips over in this classroom or something like that. When can you get it to me? I go to Amazon. I say, ship it to me overnight. I get it the next morning, and by 9 o'clock, and we're good to go. So I love Amazon. And here's the great part for us. In the state of California, for those of you that don't know, sales tax is 9.75%. Yeah, tell me about it. Anything we buy, add 10% to that. So if I buy a $1,500 MacBook online, if I go to the Apple Store, even it's going to cost me $1,500 plus $150. Great part about Amazon, no sales tax. So for us, that's like saving $150. So even with Apple, we get a 5% educational discount on their hardware. Guess what? I'm still paying 10% in sales tax. It's cheaper for me to buy it at Amazon. And for $4, I can have it by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Hello, sign me up. So for me, this is one of my absolute favorites. Now, the last one here, I recommend you use caution with things like Craigslist and eBay. You can always find some good deals on that, but I would never, ever, ever trust anything mission critical to something that I bought off of eBay, because you're not going to get a warranty with it. You don't get, if something goes wrong in the transaction, you don't really have a lot of folks to back you up there. So that's kind of use at your own risk, and your mileage may vary, but there have been times that we've been in a pinch and gotten some things off Craigslist or eBay and things like that. So that is that's my bargain hunting list that I have there. Another thing to do as far as making your budget stretch, repurpose existing assets. Like I said before, we don't really throw away anything until it's completely, totally, 100% broke. I guess the correct word would be broken. Unless it's completely broken. For those of you that don't know, I grew up in public school in Kentucky, so that's why I talk the way that I do. If it ain't broke, don't throw it out, I guess is what my parents would say. But we always try to recycle as much stuff as we can here. For example, we had when we transitioned to our new phone system about 2 years ago, we had the vendor try to sell us something that would play our music on hold. And basically, it would basically just pipe into our phone system, and when you push the whole button, it would play music. And I said, you know what, here's the system here. It's going to cost you about $2,000 to add it in. You can play whatever type of music you want when you hit the hold button. And I said, okay. So I look at the phone system, and basically, it's a little quarter-inch, mini pin plug that plugs into it. And I thought, well, that's silly. We can take a computer, load up a Windows Media playlist in there, hit play, and play music out through that. So what do we have now? Our music on hold computer is a Windows XP computer. It was a Dell OptiPlex G1, which was, I think they shipped new back in 1996. And what does it do? The only thing that it does, I mean, we had to turn all types of services off to get it to even run XP, the only thing that it does, it runs a Windows Media playlist and it plays the music on hold. So if you ever call our office, somebody puts you on hold and you hear music, you go, wow, that's running off of a Dell OptiPlex G1 shipped brand new in 1996. Great stuff, huh? Think of the things you learned from my session, really. I mean, this is invaluable, and this is insider information I'm giving you folks. But no, seriously, the music you hear out here on the parking lot, when you walk through the parking lot, guess what? That's another Dell OptiPlex that we got stuck in our server rack that basically is playing a Windows Media playlist. So we repurpose anything that we can. We hardly ever throw anything away. When it comes time for somebody to upgrade their laptop or something like that, we'll always hang on to the old one that they had, because invariably somebody's going to come along and say, hey, do you have some laptop we could take with us to teen camp to run an Excel spreadsheet to register teens? Great, I got the perfect laptop for you. Now, I always tell them, turn it on about 10 minutes before you actually want to use it, okay? But it will work for you, right? But no, just this past week, we had our deacons dealing with benevolence. Basically, they have a logbook that they keep where they chicken scratch in there who they hand out food cards to and things like that. One of our deacons came and says, hey, do we have a computer that we could use? Just needs an Excel spreadsheet that we could keep track of this stuff. I said, guys, give me the oldest computer we have in the closet, put as much RAM as you can in it, and load Excel on there. That's the only thing that they need. So what do we have? We have a Windows XP computer that it powers on, automatically logs in, brings up Excel, everybody's happy. So that's a situation where we don't have to go out and spend $200, $300, $400 to get another computer to run some spreadsheet for our deacons dealing with benevolence. We always want to try to recycle those as much as possible. And the last thing that I want to leave you here with is as far as thinking in terms of being smart with your ministry's money is think long term. Stop and ask yourself, how long am I really going to use this? How critical is this to our organization? And make a determination from there. There's a difference between good stewardship and just being cheap, okay? And I know for Baptists, sometimes that can be a fine, fine line that we walk, right? But really, we want to make sure that we have the right tools, because here's the deal. I can get the parts to cobble together some computer that with parts that we bought off of Tiger Direct for less than $200. But when the video card goes out, what happens? I got to go find another video card that'll work in there. Or the memory that I bought that was made in Hong Kong that we got for really, really cheap, it was on sale at Tiger Direct, starts giving me blue screens on all my computers now. What do I do? If my computer is a Dell that I bought from Dell, like the ones in this lab, if we have problems with these, we call Dell, they send somebody out to fix it for me. I don't even have to worry with it. Also, the computers we have in this lab, we've had to call out in the last 3 years, we've called Dell out, I want to say three times maybe, for just general hardware failures, and out of 70 computers, only having three failures in 3 years is pretty stellar. But back when I first started, we want to make sure, back when I first started here, we basically built all of our own stuff from scratch, and we ordered parts from here, there, and everywhere, and put them together. I think Matt had some good times putting computers together back in the day. And invariably, things would happen, like, you know, the memory that we bought over here doesn't work, the video card doesn't fit in the system that we got, and stuff like that. And it came to the point where, hey, we're just going to spend the extra money. It's going to cost a little bit more money, but it's going to be more stable, and it's a better long-term solution for us to do this. Also, any of your mission-critical systems, like your servers, your file servers, your backup system, do not skimp. Do not try to save money there. You want to make sure that you buy something that's going to work incredibly well for you. The last thing that, as far as long-term thinking that we're here, I'm not a big fan of extended warranties. Anytime you get a chance, like you go to Best Buy, hey, you know, we'll replace this for you the next 3 years if you pay us an extra 50% over what you already paid for it. I'm not a big fan of that, but when it comes to hardware, infrastructure, and stuff like that, I always highly recommend paying for the additional level of support. For us, when we buy Dell servers, when you go through the checkout process, you have the option to choose what level of support you want. And for us, we have same business day on site, 4 hours. So basically, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, someone will be here within 4 hours. And I always thought, you know, nobody's really going to come out to the middle of the desert in 4 hours. Really, it's just not going to happen. 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, yes, we're coming up crunch time on conference. We're trying to get all of our print projects out the door. The guys in the media department are just hammering. They got a million and one different handouts that are being going to print, things like that. And the server that houses our file server for all the graphics department goes down, totally dies on a Thursday morning. This was like a week ago. It would be like a week ago tomorrow. And they began panicking. So I go in there, look, sure enough, the hard drive failed. We have it set up on a RAID array, so we didn't lose any data. But the system won't boot until we replace that drive for whatever reason. I called Dell. I said, here's the problem we're having. They said, okay, we'll have somebody out. I said, you got 4 hours support. He says, we'll have somebody out there within 4 hours with a new drive for you. And I was like, yeah, right. So this was about 11 o'clock. I go to lunch, and at 12:30, my phone rings, and they said, hey, somebody's here from Dell with a drive for you. I was like, you're kidding me. Within an hour and a half, somebody showed up with a new hard drive for us. We plugged it in. We were honestly offline for maybe about an hour and a half there. So I don't recommend skimping on support by any means. You want to make sure that you're thinking long-term on that. For us, one of the critical aspects that we have for us is our pastor's laptop. We want to make sure that we get him something good. It's not something we found on sale at Best Buy that I was able to get for really cheap or anything like that. It's not something that we picked up at a thrift store or anything like that. We want to make sure that it's something good, something that's solid, something that's going to last for him, and something that's going to be stable as well. In addition to that, do I have any IT guys in here, network admins for your church or ministry or anything like that? Only a couple here. I'm going to share in this particular session too some of the utilities that I use as far as managing a network go. Some of these may be a help to you, some of them may not, but grab one of those and pass them around. A lot of times people say, what types of software do you use for managing your network? What type of tools you use and things like that. Some of these are confined to network administrators. Some of them are just good information for everybody to know, especially those of us that are jack of all trades. One of the indispensable admin tools that I come across is the remote desktop. If you're not familiar with this, in Windows, basically allows you to connect to any other computer on your network or any server that you have from your desktop. So a lot of times people will call up and say, hey, my printer's not working the way that it should. The software's not launching the way that it should. I can connect up via remote desktop to their computer and troubleshoot it from there. Also, we manage about 25 servers now, and I don't have to get up, go down to the server room to log in and take a look at that. I can do it all through remote desktop. This is a picture of our Exchange server via remote desktop from my computer in my office. So from here, I can log in and do anything I need to from Exchange that way. Another indispensable program is Ultra VNC. Basically, it's a lot of the same lines behind the remote desktop, but the great part about it is it has multi-monitor support, also allows you to connect to a computer without actually blinking the screen on it. So for us, this is a picture of the plasma TVs that we have in our main auditorium, and this is a picture of the desktop software that actually runs these screens here. And so Ultra VNC basically allows me to log into this from my desktop. I can change things on the screen from that computer, from my desktop if I want to. That is Ultra VNC, huge help to you there. Windows PE is kind of, you can think of this as a DOS boot disk for Windows. Basically, you stick your CD in your Windows computer and can boot to a command line. If you ever get into the instance where a file is locked and you can't change it or can't delete it and stuff like that, you can use Windows PE to get you to that point. Another indispensable tool is a tool called Wireshark. Basically, this shows you all the communication that's taking place on your network and allows you to see in real time packets that are flowing through your network. This for us has been a real help, especially when we get pieces of equipment that don't work the way they're supposed to. We can take a look and see how they're talking in the network and what's going on there. Highly recommend that. One of my favorites is the Oracle. Son was just bought up by Oracle. Now this is the Oracle VirtualBox. Basically what this allows you to do, this goes back to the consolidation aspect of it, allows me to run an operating system within my operating system. For example, on my desktop, I run Windows 7. So from time to time, people say, hey, I've got my Vista computer and it's doing this or that. I can actually create a virtual machine here that runs Windows Vista inside my Windows 7 box. So if I wanted to, I could load up here Windows 95 if I wanted to. I could load up DOS or I could load up some version of Linux on these virtual machines here and run those if I want to. And it functions just like a real computer. I can tell how much memory I want to allocate to it, how much display memory I want to give, how big the hard drive I want it to be, things like that. This has saved us a lot of money and a lot of resources, so I don't have to get a separate test box to do this or that. VirtualBox will do a lot of that for you. And VirtualBox runs on Mac PCs and Linux as well. If you're managing wireless networks, there's a program called Insider that will basically allow you to see all the wireless networks in your area. This is to be used for good and not evil, okay? If you're out in somebody's neighborhood trying to crack into their Wi-Fi, I didn't give you this tool for that. But this tells us here, shows me my wireless networks that I have, the signal strength that I have from them, what channel they're operating on, and any my signal to noise ratio and things like that. That's incredibly helpful too. Microsoft has a utility that's free to volume licensing customers called the Disaster and Recovery Tool, I want to say it is. They call it Microsoft Dart. Basically allows you to fix any problems with your Windows computers here through this. And it also has a separate tool set to do things like reset the system password, to edit the registry, things like that. Incredibly helpful tool there as well. If you oversee a network or oversee your IT department, if you have an IT guy, you should pass this along to him. Spiceworks is a program that we use for keeping track of help desk requests that come in. Somebody sends in a help desk request. This is a shot of actually our help desk here. We see that Larry Cox created a ticket saying the backroom receipt printer has documents stored and that will not print. It's assigned to Andrew Whippler. This is when it came in. This is the priority of it and things like that. Other information about the request there. That helps us keep track of all of our different help requests that we have going on. In addition to that, Spiceworks also allows you to take a look at all of the assets on your network. So here I can see all the computers that are on my network, network switches too that are out there. So in this particular case, I chose a computer. I can see the last time it was rebooted, what operating system it's running, what type of antivirus it has, if it's up to date or not, what version of the BIOS it has, who logged into it last, how much memory it has. If it's a Dell, it'll actually show the system service tag and things like that. So a lot of good information we can get. Great part about just about all these things that I'm sharing with you folks is that they are free. Another good tool is ZenMap. This will actually say, for example, there's a device on your network, you're not sure what it is. You can scan that with this tool and it'll come up and tell you that. For example, in this case here, I scanned a particular IP because I wasn't sure what type of computer it was or what it was on my network. It goes through a little scan here and basically comes up and tells me that it is a Mac OS X computer. And I think somewhere on here it showed me, right down here. Tells me that it's running 10.6 Leopard or Snow Leopard there. So that's helpful for kind of trying to figure out what types of things you got on your network and what those are. Another utility that we use, in this case here, this is, the title's wrong on this slide. This is a program called Servers Check, which basically goes through and pings devices throughout your network and tells you what up, what's up, what's down, and things like that. That might be a help to you as well. USB computer repair utility kit is something we use as well. It has a lot of different repair tools on there and things like that. Anytime somebody calls me out to their house and says, hey, I need you to take a look at our computer, I'll always take this guy with me as well. TeamViewer works a lot like VNC and remote desktop in the fact that I can connect to another computer across the network. And this is independent of whether they're on your network or not. It works through firewalls and things like that. We've used that in a couple instances where we had some kind of funny firewall things going on to fix that. And lastly is the Microsoft TechNet subscription. If you manage any computers on your network that are Windows-based, I highly recommend this. This is one of the few utilities I share with you that's not free. The subscription on this, I want to say, is $349 a year. The great part about this is it allows me to download any of Microsoft's software that they have. In this case here, we see Exchange Server 2010. I can download that over here and to basically try this software out. So I can download Exchange 2010, load it up on a test computer to see if I like it, if I don't like it, things like that. And basically, just about any software that Microsoft puts out, you can download through the Microsoft TechNet subscription. And I share those with you basically because those are my free utilities that we use to manage our network here and a lot of the things we use as far as that's concerned. If you're looking towards more ministry, media ministry type stuff, Brother Lofgren would be a help for that. Maybe where he buys some of the hardware, mics, microphones, cables, things like that. I know we get a lot of our media equipment through Amazon, again, because we don't have to pay sales tax and we can have it here the next morning for a pretty nominal cost. Does anybody have any questions on anything that we covered, anything today? Bill Wendell? We don't. We used SharePoint at once upon a time, but it ended up being a lot more than what we needed, and it was just it was a beast for us to maintain and to get people to really use the way that it was supposed to be used. So we did once upon a time. We don't really anymore. Good question. Anybody else? All right. If anybody has any questions, I'm going to be up here till the last person leaves. I talked really fast, and you listened fast. So that means you get to get out early. How about that? So if anybody has any questions, I'll be here till the last person leaves. Don't forget about the media ministry tour coming up at 3:30 with Brother Lofgren and Brother Chapel in the main auditorium. That's all I have. You are dismissed.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.